Now the first verse of the next chapter also is the same subject. And in that day, and this phrase "in that day" is not found in some of the older manuscripts, "seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." Here's the situation. So many of the men had been killed. There were so many widows left and so few men, until he said, in that day there'll be seven men will take hold of one man. And they'll tell this man, "Why, we'll eat our own bread and we'll wear our own apparel. All we want, let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Just let us wear your name. We'll take care of ourselves. You don't have to support us. You don't have to be a husband to us. You don't have to regard us as a true wife. Just let us wear your name so that we'll not be counted as somebody without a husband." And that seems to be a rather desperate and rather awkward situation, but that's the situation Israel got into. We read in Exodus 21, verse 10, where a kind of a similar thing was talking about a man taking a servant girl as his wife. And as he describes this situation, he says this in verse 10, "If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall not he diminish," or shall he not diminish. That is, if he had this one and he took another, he had to give still the same amount to the first, even though he had taken another. These were servant wives. And I can't explain all the ramifications of it, but I just show that there was a law about that, showing how that more than one woman could be a husband of a man, and yet each one had equal rights. In 2 Chronicles 28, verse 6, he describes here this great destruction of the men of Judea. "For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers." So here was a king of the north of Israel, supposed to have been their brethren, came down and slew 120,000 valiant men in one day. So automatically, we'd have to consider he made approximately 120,000 widows right there in one day. So these things did happen. And then remember the scripture there in Jeremiah 15 and 8, where he says, "While the number of the widows are increased to the numbers of the sand of the sea." So a large number of widows, a small number of men, and so we understand what this verse 1 then of chapter 4 says. "That seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and we'll wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." Now beginning in the second verse, and this little fourth chapter is not very long. We'll get as far as we can in it. It's only six verses. Beginning in the second verse, he gives a prophecy now about the Messiah, showing how that the Messiah would come out of this remnant. "In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel." Now, those that escaped, that is, those that were not done away with or obliterated by the captivity, those are counted as the ones that are escaped. They're the ones who shall enjoy the fruit of the earth that'll be excellent and comely for them. That'll be the Lord. They will enjoy the Lord. They will. It'll be beautiful and comely for them. Now he describes this Lord as the branch of the Lord. "Shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious." We have several occasions in which the Messiah is referred to as a root, or as a branch, or as a shoot that comes forth from the root stock of Israel. In Isaiah 10, we're going to learn where this Israel was pictured as a forest that had been cut down even with the ground. And all that was left was the root system. And from that root system would come forth this rod, or this shoot of Jesse. And then, of course, it would be the Messiah. So here he calls it a branch. And that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. He would come forth from those that were escaped of Israel. Now, I'd have to count certain people like Daniel, who had been through the captivity and been faithful, and then were allowed to come back. I don't know that Daniel ever went back, but his fellows did. They were allowed to come back to Judea as being those that were escaped of Israel, those that came back from the captivity. And we'll take one more verse. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. So it'll come to pass, he says, that the one that's left there in Zion, the one that is remaineth in Jerusalem. Now, whether this means those that were never taken into captivity or those that went and came back is really immaterial. He's really talking about those that did not digress his law. Those that were counted as loyal citizens of Jerusalem or Judea shall be called holy. They should be called holy. Even everyone that's written among the living in Jerusalem. It seems that there was to be a roll kept, a census taken. And if you lived there, if you were a citizen there, you'd be written among the living. You'd have your name on the census. And this is alluded to in Ezekiel 33, verse 9. I'll just turn and read that here just a second.